Good morning, and thank you to the division and those who read the abstracts to choose our project, because we're very happy to be here to talk about what we've been doing. This academic practice partnership was developed to provide home visiting service to women and children who are experiencing homelessness and living in transitional housing. The partners were two faculty members from St. Catharines University, Pat Schoen, do you want to stand up, Pat? This is my partner, and from the college, and two social workers and the executive director at the Transitional Housing Facility. We began our work on this partnership in 2006. This is my disclosure slide, and we have no relationship to disclose. These are the learning objectives, and you'll find those in the handout, so I won't read those to you. And first, I want to begin by talking about the value of academic community partnerships. Pat and I have been working with this model for a number of years, and we found that one of the more important values is that egalitarian relationships in which both partners have power is developed. There's reciprocity in which both partners benefit. There's an ongoing sustainable relationship that's based on trust. The faculty are able to role model interdisciplinary communication and team approach as we plan, intervene, and evaluate in the community. And the need for intervention is community-based. So students are able to help us to expand and respond to community needs. And there's a potential for making a meaningful contribution to those receiving service. The value of community partnerships to community agencies is that community agencies develop a better understanding of what nursing students can do to contribute to the mission and goals of the agency. Sometimes we found that our agencies even hire a PHN or are interested in hiring a PHN after they've had our students have clinical rotations at their agencies. And we have been able to develop long-term relationships that provide more stability for program development involving students. And I'll talk about that. This project is an example of that. As well as community agencies then view the academic partner and the students' activities as a quality resource rather than just a one-time experience for students that may sometimes be detrimental to the agency staff and to the clients. As far as benefits for faculty and the win for faculty in the practice partnership model, faculty time is better utilized, and this strengthening and enriching relationships with one community agency rather than having to continually look for more sites. There's reduced administrative time in developing clinical contracts. As faculty, we have the opportunity to develop educational strategies and teaching learning activities based on community assessment and program evaluation data. And so we really find that our clinical rotations evolve over time. And I'll show you that in a couple slides later. And students are able to carry out more diverse nursing interventions as they're at different stages in their professional development. Two courses were involved in this project, and you'll see how the two courses were utilized to develop the project. As far as the value of the partnership to students, this academic partnership model offers exposure to a growing segment of our population in the United States who don't have access to health care. We're able to provide ample opportunities for students to more deeply understand social justice and advocacy. And we see that not only in their anecdotal comments and also what they talk about in their evaluations of the clinical rotations, but we also see that in their reflections and have quantified that, and I'll talk about that later when I talk about the evaluation of the project. And we know from other research that's done, students report this type of clinical rotation is providing transformational cross-cultural learning experiences. So as far as the individuals and families experiencing housing crisis, they really have high need for services, and probably that's evident. Some of you are maybe familiar with the research on the need for service among this population, but I have, from Morrison Strong, I've provided some of that for you in this slide. There's also evidence to support the intervention of home visiting for families living in transitional housing, in that we know that home visiting is a very important strategy that public health nurses can provide and can utilize to help families reach a higher level of health. And I pulled out some of the home visiting outcomes for any of you who are non-believers in the audience. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but I have some of the Olds data, and I've kind of extrapolated what Olds said in some of the work that was done by that research group, and Olds and Kitzman, the home visiting outcomes and the longitudinal studies that demonstrate a significant effect. And the home visiting outcomes with the 2000 research that was done with Kitzman. So CDC says 43% of all families with newborns could benefit from receiving home visiting service. We know this. Anybody who in here is a public health nurse probably know this. And we also know that only a very small percentage of families receiving this type of service are receiving this type of service in the United States. Just thought I wanted to get it out there in black and white and tell you what's really there. Now, our health care reform bill has a piece, if you read about it in the newspaper yesterday, to provide more home visiting service for newborns and for pregnant women. My husband saw it in the paper and he said, oh, look at this. So I said, well, I'll talk about that tomorrow. So just to note that the big people in Washington, D.C. are also recognizing this need, which I think is very exciting. Our partners in the home visiting program at the transitional housing were the social workers at the Y, and Pat and myself. And Pat and I were in two different courses, public health courses. And these are the objectives of the two courses. So one was more care of the individual and family. The other course was a population-based course. And this is a kind of a timeline. Pat actually developed this beautiful slide for me. And this is kind of a timeline of what happened in the first 3 years of the program. In the fall, we did a community needs assessment the students did a community needs assessment in her course and kind of collected data that informed us then about what I did in 2007 with the home visiting pilot that we first, that was how we first began the program, and we only had 6 nursing students. We decided to start really small. The agency wanted us to provide lots of students, and we said, no, we think we want to start really small, so we started really small. And then what we discovered was, and what the students told us was, we think if you would do some sort of pre-assessment, now these families were not receiving home visiting. And so we decided maybe it would be helpful if we had a more comprehensive way of pre-assessing them. The social workers were pre-assessing them. So the students developed, in Pat's course, developed this beautiful pre-assessment screening tool. And then the next year, the social workers in 2008 used the pre-assessing screenings tool. And that year, we had nine students and about 11 families, I think, that we served. And that tool worked really, really well. Then I was getting so excited about this project that I wrote a grant and got some money to evaluate the project and kind of look at our outcomes and look at what the families were getting from the service and what the students were getting from the service. So that supported a comprehensive action research evaluation of the student and resident outcomes. So in year three, what we did in the winter of 2009, the social workers screened with this pre-assessments tool that we had utilized, and word was kind of getting out, and more families than we could offer service wanted to have a nurse. They wanted to have their own nurse. They talk about it like, this is my nurse. They really were getting on board. That, in 2009, 13 families received services from 11 nurses, and both the students and the families participated in our project, in our research project. And I'm not going to give the specifics of this of what we found out right now, but you can attend Karen Lowenson's presentation this afternoon at 12:30 in Lowell's Regency Ballroom C2 if you want to get more information about the what we learned about the students' reaction to this home visiting clinical rotation. But we looked with the students, we looked at we used the attitudes towards homelessness inventory, and we also looked at their development of their professional values using the AAC and Baccalaureate Essentials. As far as the families go, we interviewed the families utilizing focus groups, and we also did a record audit of all the work and all the things that we had done for the families, looking at the student care plans, looking at the diagnoses, the various information that we collected on them. First of all, I'll talk a little bit in more depth about the student outcomes. The attitudes towards homelessness inventory, which is a very interesting and valid and reliable tool that's been utilized for medical students and for nurse practitioner students. We used that on the first day of class and on the last day of class, and we found a significant change in attitudes towards homeless individuals from this participation in this clinical rotation. We also had two assignments at the beginning and the end of the semester, and these were designed to measure the impact of the clinical course on professional values related to social justice. As far as the resident outcomes, we audited the goal sheets pre and post assessment of each resident to determine the strengths, family diagnosis, nursing interventions of the group, and we conducted focus groups with them to determine their perceptions of the impact of the visits and the need for revision. What we learned was working in the community is messy, unpredictable, and time-consuming. Duh! But I keep being reminded of that, even though I've been working in the community for a very long time. We had a shooting. I got this $10,000 grant. I was all gung-ho about the $10,000 grant. A week before the clinicals were supposed to start, there was a shooting outside one of our sites. So I about had a stroke. And so we had to work with that and work with the college. And this is, you know, this is very serious stuff. I don't want to bring my students into a facility. Now, this was in the middle of the night, and they don't do their visits in the middle of the night. But still. So the my social work contact person decided to have a baby. So that threw a little bit of a monkey wrench in it. But we worked through that, and the other social workers learned about our program. They got enthusiastic about our program. And we also learned sustainable partnerships with students at different levels in professional development allow students to see the big picture. This was a very valuable part of having both courses involved. And the residents really, really enjoyed the visits. I went over to do some work one day over at one of the sites, and I was asking for directions to the right door to get in to see the social workers. And this young woman was so gracious, and she directed me, and she said, "Are you one of those nurses?" And I said, "Well, I am. Why do you ask?" And she said, "I have a nurse." And then she proceeded to tell me in 5 minutes, "My nurse is so-and-so. She does this for me. She does this for me." And I just like got goosebumps. I went back to campus and I was so excited because I knew this was good. As far as recommendations, we recommend using an evidence-based approach, build the program slowly, be clear in what you want to accomplish, build the time it takes to build the relationships, and also, get into the department budget, and we're really trying hard to do that so that we're more reimbursed for some of the extra time that it takes to build these partnerships, because I'm not here to tell you that this is a quick and easy way to develop a clinical rotation, because it's not. Use a reciprocity model, concentrate on the relationship, create an atmosphere where all partners' needs are included, be clear in what all partners are trying to accomplish, listen. And the greatest endorsement for this home visiting clinical comes from one of our residents who stayed in the focus groups when describing the benefits of the home visiting. And I'm going to end with that.